Good morning, you're welcome to Galway Talks with me, John Moore. If you want to get a comment into us, you can do on our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086-3833-553. Phone Fiona on reception on 09177-077. And email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Just to your text lines now very quickly from the last hour that we didn't get to. In rural areas, it's impossible to pass your driving test without having to negotiate a set of traffic lights or a roundabout. Never mind a motorway, so says this listener. Good morning, John. Enjoying the programme. We lived on a farm. I learned to drive on the tractor, and we lived on a farm with a long avenue if I cleaned the car. I got to drive up it and probably shouldn't have been. I got two learning lessons from a retired person in my area and did my driving test on Friday the 13th and got it, and it was 42 years ago. On the other hand, my sister did over 30 lessons and failed her driving test twice. Like everything in life, mind over matter, so says this listener. And looking at some of the other comments coming in terms of our menopause conversation, my first menopause symptom was reoccurring sinus infections, and I'm allergic to nothing than reoccurring UTIs, rashes and disturbed sleep. It is only diagnosed by symptoms by a good GP or menopause specialist. I went in HRT and it saved my life. Highly recommend it. Symptoms were horrific and menopause is the opposite to puberty. Great Facebook group is the Irish Menopause. And another listener says, a horse is loose on the main road at Castlegar just now. To the other lines, and Kirndulla Road all the way out to Clare Galway is full of very dangerous potholes. Ask Councillor Reddington, who is responsible for leaving these roads in such a state? The locals have been trying to get help with this for almost a year. This needs to be seen to urgently. And someone else says, an electricity pole was knocked down on the Abinach Moy to Moy Loch Road by the old Derrine pub. Wires and pole fallen onto the road, cars stopping suddenly to avoid the fallen debris. So if you have a comment, do get it into us straight away. We're looking at the whole area of wind farm action groups again on the programme, and I'm joined in studio by Christina Fahey of the Belclare Curfin Wind Farm Action Group. Christina, good morning.
Morning, John.
Good to have you with us. Talk us through the history of this wind farm action group.
Sure. The action group was set up in December 22, when we first got notification that a proposal was about to go in. So at the minute, there is a planning has been sought for 8 185 metre high wind turbines in a rural area with 480 houses within a 2 kilometre radius. So that's 480 houses that will be affected by these. These are industrial wind turbines. They're not like the little ones that you'd see in other developments. They will be the largest in the country. They have, you know, a blade diameter of 163 metres. The scale of them is insane when you think about it. It's, you could stand on the top of Knockma at 167 metres and you would still have to look up to see the top of these things.
Mm-hmm. And this area, the proposed development, it's in between Belclare, Curfin and Kirndulla.
Yes.
And you were notified that the submission had been put in on the 15th of March, and you have a deadline time of 5:30 on the 10th of May. So you're trying to rally people in the area.
We are. There's an awful lot of work that has gone on in the background. We have a steering committee in place that have done Trojan work for the past year to help people. We have spoken to people, you know, that don't realise the impact this will have on them. It's billed as renewable green energy, but when you look at what actually has to happen for these developments to take place, you are going into the ground with 150 tonnes of concrete per base for a wind turbine. The turbines themselves, they're not overly efficient. They run at roughly about 40% efficiency, that would be a good one. They kill numerous birds, but more importantly, they affect people. People have the right to live in their homes, to be unaffected by noise and shadow flicker. People, you know, it's their secure place. We shouldn't have to fight this so hard.
But to be fair, Christina, I'm not a wind energy expert and neither are you.
No, but I have done my research.
But people in this area, what are the concerns that you have in particular with this, because we do see wind energy projects in other places. What's unique and different to your area and that you're concerned about and that you want to submit before this deadline of the 10th of May?
The the legislation is outdated on these things. The research that's based for these turbines is based on wind turbines that were much, much smaller. The companies in question that would build these things, they refer to reports that one was in 1996 when the largest diameter of a turbine was 50 metres. The diameter of these is 163 metres. You can't compare like for like in that case. So you have no... What further research needs to be done to see the effects of sound of these and shadow flicker and the effects that it does have on people. And they're too new to discount that.
And given all these concerns you have, you'd imagine that if this does go through on board Planola, it won't be approved, or are you worried that it will be approved in spite of all these concerns?
Well, there is a risk. That's why we're asking people to get their objections in. Now is the time to act. And we do have a chance. These are not guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination. People do have a right to object, and there are numerous things that make this site unsuitable. Galway County Council themselves have deemed this area generally unsuitable. They spent a lot of money and resources into compiling a report to prove this area is deemed unsuitable, and the company in question have come along and discounted that. And, you know, why would the County Council have gone to the trouble of creating that report if they thought it was just going to be discounted so easily?
And is there agreement in the area? Is the community rallied together and unified, or is there fracturing in the community? Because we've seen in other wind farm action groups that sometimes the community divides, where some people are getting paid to have wind turbines in the land, etc. Is the Belclare, Currafin, Kirndall community, are ye together on this?
So obviously there are local people that have signed up for the land, but this isn't a personal attack on anybody. You know, people can make mistakes, and having spoken to some farmers, I know personally that they don't, they wish they hadn't signed, you know, that they have made mistakes, but it's gone too far down the road for them to be able to get out of this. For the people that have signed, it's well within their right to sign. I can't dictate to anybody what they should do. But the people that are going to be affected by these, I don't think people realise how they will be affected in the scale of it. And, you know, these companies, they thrive on dividing communities, because when there's divide, you know, nothing gets done when there's in-house bickering. So, but the community has worked really well together. You know, we have this action group set up to help people. You know, if they do want to put a submission in, there's any amount of people that are willing to help. And we do see it as a community action. We want the community to come together. We have a lovely community in our area. We have Knockman or Doorstep. We have so many things that make this area special. And this would ruin that.
Is it fair to say that these types of energy companies divide communities? Because I know in different parts of Galway County, not in the North Galway area, but in different parts in West Galway, that there are wind farm groups and different businesses that have set up in the area, and they actually raise funds and give back to the community. So I don't think it's fair to say in a blanket statement that all these energy companies look to divide communities that they go into.
Well, our site is the most densely populated one to date. 480 houses within a 2 kilometre radius. That makes it completely unsuitable. It should never have even been considered.
Okay, so your deadline for people to get submissions in is 5:30 on the 10th of May. Let's go down the future and down the road a bit. Let's say this does get approval from on board Planola. What are your next steps as a community?
Well, I suppose we're hoping, you know, that the evidence is, there's huge evidence to show that this isn't a suitable site. Worst case scenario, on board Planola fail to realise this and it does get approval, well then we as a community and a group would be willing to take this all away. It's not something that we're just going to accept as a ruling, because there are terms of routes for appeal, and we will exercise them completely.
So judicial review through the courts all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you present the evidence is there. Like there are so many things in our favour. Like there's waterways that run under it. There are protected bird and bat species down there, protected under EU directives. It's not as if we were just saying, oh, we don't want these because we don't like the look of them. There is a risk of noise pollution, shadow flicker, health impacts. There are like studies being carried out now that show sleep turbines do disrupt sleep. They have a very negative impact on life. There was a case in, I think it was Waterford recently, where Justice Emily Egan ruled that they do cause interference to people. Mm. And, you know, people shouldn't be discounted so easily for profit.
Okay. At this point, I want to say we don't have the energy company in question on. We're leaving the lines open to them if they do want to give us a statement or indeed come on the programme as well. For you personally, Christina, how has this been affecting you the last while?
It's it's very stressful. Where my house is, I'm within 900 metres of the closest turbine to me. I'll be looking directly out onto three of them. I will be able to see all of them because at 185 metres high, they're not going to be invisible, despite the best claims of the company to say there will be limited visibility on these. 900 metres from my home at 185 metres, it's a towering structure. It's a very imposing structure. I'm worried for my children. It will affect their sleep. I'm worried for the local school. It will be impacted by shadow flicker. Children have the right to an education. This conducive to a productive learning environment. Having shadow flicker will be the same effect as somebody switching light on or off in their classroom repeatedly. Mm-hmm. That's not good for them. They shouldn't have to even have this worry. Okay. But yeah, it is very stressful. There's no doubt about it. It's stressful to a lot of families. A lot of families have children with sensory issues and autism, and they will be severely impacted by this, and it's very unfair.
Okay. Christina Fahey, look after yourself, and thanks for joining us on Galway Talks. Coming up next, we have the Connacht Tribune headlines, and Conan is going to make his Rossnaroon debut.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.
Good morning, welcome to Galway Talks with me, John Morley. I'm giving you the chance to win very quickly because it's the Connacht GAA Championship and Galway travel to Markovitch Park to take on Sligo in this year's Connacht Championship semi-final on Saturday. Throw-in is at 3:30. Supporters are advised to buy their tickets in advance. Tickets are available from gaa.ie/tickets or at selected SuperValue and Central stores. There are no tickets on sale at the venue on the day. GAA, where we all belong. If you want to be in with a chance of wearing a pair of tickets for the stand in Markovitch Park on Saturday, all you have to do is text in maroon to 086 38 33 553. That's maroon to our text and WhatsApp number, and do so straight away. To my phone lines now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Dave O'Connell, the Connacht Tribune Group Editor. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, John. What's that password again? I'd just love to hear you say it. Just say it one more time, would you?
Maroon 1998.
I love it. That's my new phone. That'll be my new phone screensaver. Yeah. Maroon over and over again. Thank you.
Dave, you have a very packed Connacht Tribune today, and your lead story is bad news for pint drinkers. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I'm devastated. I couldn't be more upset if Man City were out of the Champions League. But no, it's a reaction to the latest Diageo price hike. And it's a warning that the €6 pint is on the way. Now, I know this won't surprise anyone who's been in Temple Bar, because they talk fondly of a time where the pint only cost €6. But down here, and in rural areas in particular, the publicans are doing all they can to keep it at a fiver. Although even that looks like a losing battle, because the breweries just keep pushing the wholesale price up. And the bigger picture here, aside from the pain to the punters, is that these continuously escalating costs are pushing many pubs closer to shutting down. And on top of that, the reality is the pub is often all that's left in the smaller villages. So Councillor Joe Sheridan's words should be taken to heart. Joe is not just a councillor, he's also the chairman of the Vintners in Galway. And he summed this up, and I'm quoting him. He says, "I can see what happened in Wales under Margaret Thatcher in the 1980s with the closure of the collieries happening to the west of Ireland. You will travel 25 miles for a pint of milk, a pint of porter, a newspaper or a bar of chocolate." And that, I think, brings it home in much better than I could ever put it. It's a stark warning, but it's not an outlandish one. So that's on the front and it's inside as well.
Okay, you also feature a former sports star who is now in a whole different game. It's a very interesting story.
Well, from the game of rugby, where he was, to the game of Thrones, which is where he's off to. That's we're talking about the former. Yeah, I love it. I wish I came up with it, John. It was it was done for me. But when you get a good one, I think imitation is the best form of flattery, or whatever that phrase is. But the person we're talking about is former Connacht Rugby Academy star, now turned actor, Peter Claffey from Portumna, and he was announced as one of the leads in the eagerly awaited prequel to Game of Thrones. Now, it's called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, based, as is Game of Thrones, on the novellas and work of George R.R. Martin. And he plays the main character in this. He is called Dunk, or the Wandering Knight Seer, Duncan the Tall. I have to admit, I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, but I know that there are thousands that are on this, but it's one of the two main leads in this. It is an interesting change of direction for him, but as you see, it's been an evolving process, because he has been on, he's been in drama for a number of years, he's acted with the Abbey, but this is absolutely his big break, so that's on page 3.
Now, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck and Goofy all feature on the main sports page this week. All you're missing is Wreck-It Ralph, Dave.
Well, you see, that's of a more modern variety. John McIntyre's favourite period was, we'll say, early Disney, because he's very old now. But I just hope he hasn't created hostage to fortune on this one, because the reason that we have these three Disney characters in the back page is that, well, he reckons all three could line out for the Galway Hurlers this weekend and they still have enough to see off Carlow in the Leinster Championship. Now, as somebody else in here said, I would put that up on the door of the dressing room and see how you get on. The footballers, he also reckons, won't have too much bother in Sligo, and that's of course not true, because you need to get that competition line moving. There'll be a fantastic match up there, but for both, in either case, let's hope stiffer tests await, and that let's hope is that they have won after the weekend. Anyway, other than that, in sport, disappointment for the Camogie ladies losing out to Tip in the league final. The under 20 hurlers, an easy win over Dublin, another great win for the Galway United women, leaving Phil Trill's side top of the league by 5 points. And female champions from a slightly earlier era feature as well. Presentation College Athenry's All-Ireland winning senior and junior Camogie teams from 1974 and the senior team from 1975. Reunion for both, and loads of pictures on that.
What else have you, Dave?
Loads in there, John. A very honest and open piece with a Galway woman, Deirdre Herney. She has designed a new range of jewellery which she hopes will allow recovering alcoholics to identify each other and tackle that loneliness by virtue of this symbol on, it could be a necklace or it could be a bracelet or just a badge that you wear on your top. Just an easy way of identifying, and she tells her own story as a background to that. My Cullen baker, Mary Carr Faherty, who caught a serious gardening bug, which apparently is not infectious, during the pandemic. She's now selling her own homemade compost, which is made of, and I hope nobody's eating, native worm castings, which have seen her own garden thrive like never before. Matt Nolan has a lovely tribute to Mike Beog MacDonagh, or Mike Foppy, as he was known to his friends, one of the last all-time poutine makers in South Connemara. Plenty of social pics from the footballers, the Galway footballers' farewell function among their own in London. They stayed on after the London match for a training camp, and picks as well from the Galway Association's annual gathering in Coventry, and a lovely piece from the one and only Paul Connaughton, who really writes like no other, reflecting on growing up on the farm. It's all tied into the upcoming All-Ireland and All-Nations Sheep Shearing Championships, which take place in Mount Bellew on the first weekend in June. But the man just paints pictures with words, so that's in there, and loads more in there as well, John.
All right, Dave O'Connell, the Connacht Tribune Group Editor, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thanks, John.
I can tell you there's a lot of interest in going to Markovitch Park this Saturday at 3:30. The text lines are hopping. They want those stand tickets for Saturday afternoon. So please do keep getting your texts in. Maroon to 086-3833-553 and do so straight away. I want to move on though this morning, because there is an absolutely lovely story that has come our way from the crew in TG Cahir, because Conan O'Brien, the US TV host and comedian, is set to make his Irish TV drama debut with TG Cahir's long-running drama series, Ross na Rún. I'm joined on the line by Kevin Hussey, the production assistant and Irish language coach, and Conan O'Brien's linguistic support. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well. This must be brilliant for you to see this coming to the airwaves and to the TV now.
Oh, it is indeed. As we've been long awaiting it, and now we're finally able to show our story.
Agus inistum fuin scale Conan.
Cinnte. So I suppose hánig Conan a dangwall in a Ross na Rún couple of meoin a gíríve parts of the show. Agus sheirdan rada horla na niráshe gíri tacht Ross na Rún agus é a ve mar Conan O'Brien. Vishe gíri tacht Ross na Rún. Agus a bheith mar chuine, like, gná chuine a bheith ar an show, agus just mar hárlíon se Conan O'Brien atá á léirú. Anis, so bhí ar na scríbhneoirí, rairc amlan nua chrothú, leis an scéal se a chur seach san epizód, a bheith golamach ar an trúch lá den bhí se. Agus, so, yes, so hánig sé go Ross na Rún, agus ar nu, Medicaid got locked in the head in the niche. She's asked him the whole cost of them hain.
Yeah.
So an méid gaeilge a meachaige ná céad míle fáilte. An cúpla fócail sin, sin a méid a bhí aige.
Tá sága.
So, nuair a tháinig sé go rás na rún, bé cóisir an san epizód a bheith sé an.
Íntach.
Agus, tháinig sé seach go rás na rún mar fear seachat a balún. So, bheith sé tachta seach fríd doris a fob agus balúns in lávage.
Yeah, for those who don't have the cúpla focal, Kevin, what was it like to work as his linguistic support and to work that closely with him?
Indeed. So I suppose working in the TV industry, I work as you said, as a production assistant, and I also do Irish language coaching. And usually the kind of word I say is, give me 3 days with an actor and whatever level of Irish they have, they'll be walking out of the room with me and sounding like a native speaker. That's usually what I'm able to say. But of course, with Conan, as someone who, as I said in Irish just 2 minutes ago, he, as an American, the amount of Irish that he had was simply Cead Míle Fáilte. So it was an interesting situation where basically myself and the production manager, Murad Campbell, we sat down together and kind of spoke the lines like with each other and tried to write them out phonetically.
Yeah.
And we sent him on recordings in Irish, and that was the Ré of Obert. That was his homework that he did before coming along to the show. Yeah. And then on set, we had the cue cards written out phonetically, and I went through them again with him. And what we did was I said, you write what you hear when I say these lines. And that's the cue cards that we'll use. So we had cue cards, these A3 card pieces of paper. And with the words that he had written out, whenever his line was coming up, I'd show them up. I stood behind the camera and I showed them up and he'd speak them back to us.
Íntach. We're also joined on the line by Marian Ilinski. Marian, Majin wa agus by clue agus call a Ross Narun anish.
Bei Gurfamhad, bei Nertem, Piedlicht and Shanish Goros Narun, agus Thomas Harvest Asta, Leshan Tara, Gun Thar, agus Mage, a Mage Vase, a Taralu, like Conan O'Brien, some Marchin.
Now, you're the series producer, Marian. It must be very proud for you to see this and all the I suppose, international eyes that are going to be put towards the series now.
It's fantastic. It's a fantastic opportunity to showcase Ross Narun. Obviously, he comes with a huge following, and he speaks to an Irish American audience that would respond well to his presence in an Irish language program. So, yes, it's a great opportunity for Ross Narun to have this attention drawn to our program.
Well, Gnairiam Bóthar Libh, Marian Ilinski, the Ross Narun series producer, and Kevin Hussey, production assistant and Irish language coach for Conan O'Brien's linguistic support. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. And I'm really looking forward to that on Tuesday, the 30th of April at 8:30. We'll all be tuned in to Ross Narun. Coming up next, we have a singer in studio.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Good morning, welcome to Galway Talks with me, John Morley, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Carsey Blanton, who is a US political singer-songwriter, and she's playing in the Roisin Dubh later. And Carsey, I'll let you get stuck straight into it. Here's your song, Be Good.
Jesus Christ was a handsome man. Nothing to hide, he said, give bread to the hungry, bring the homeless inside. Jesus Christ was a dangerous man, that's the way that he died, saying, be good to the people you love. Everybody alive, be good to the people, be good to the people, be good to the people you love, love everybody alive. Dr. King was a preacher. On your brother aside. Dr. King was a dangerous man. That's the way that he died, saying,
Carsey Blanton, that is Be Good. I must say, I love the tone of your voice. It's very bluesy or something like that. I don't know what the... How would you describe it, Carsey?
Oh, well, gosh, I hate to describe it. It's a little... I get a little huskier in the morning, so it's nice to be on a morning radio show, get a couple extra low notes.
Be Good. Talk to me about that. What's that about?
Well, that song is really about this sort of concept of being good to other people and being good to everybody alive, more specifically, and how that's a bit of a persecuted idea throughout history.
Mm-hmm. Your album is called After the Revolution, and I know you're a very political singer-songwriter. Talk about what inspires you in your work and what you make of the state of global politics at the moment.
Sure. Well, I'm rather inspired by the chaotic decline of capitalism, I would say. I used to write a lot of love songs, and then over the last decade or so, being an American, I think I've... become suddenly very interested in politics.
Okay.
So a lot of my newer work is about politics and sort of tends to be in a more broad view. So I'm not writing, you know, I hope that Biden wins, I hope that Trump loses. I'm writing about kind of the larger symbols and patterns that I see in politics, which mostly have to do with the struggle for liberation and for people to be taken care of. And that's sort of up against the struggle of people with a lot of money to control everyone else's lives.
Because I know you've performed and supported the likes of Declan O'Rourke, who we'll claim here in Galway because he lives in Kinvara.
Yeah.
But he's very vocal on things like Palestine as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been quite vocal on Palestine as well. I'm an American Jew for a free Palestine. And I always like to say that here because I know you have quite a bit of Palestinian solidarity in Ireland.
Mm.
And I know it looks like if you're just watching international news that the Americans might not be with you, but I think largely we are, and it's just our empire that's not with you.
I getcha. And I don't. Music can be a great form of criticism, and it can be a great wheel for change. What songs do you have on your album After the Revolution that are looking for changes and to critique different parts of the American establishment?
Sure. Well, the title track After the Revolution is sort of a journey through the feeling of living in this sort of crumbling late capitalist empire, which is how it feels to live in the U.S. right now. We kind of have everything failing at the same time. And of course, climate change on the horizon, and we've got the rise of fascism there. So it's quite a scary time to be living in that country. But then I try to pair it with an honest, hopeful view of the future after the revolution. So that's kind of the theme of the album.
I think hope is a very good theme as a musician as well, because when people start off in music, it can seem very hopeless in terms of the costs involved and not making money and doing it for the love of it. Has that been true with your journey?
Very much so. Yeah, I actually, so I have quite a lot of debt, in part because we don't have support for the arts, at least not my kind of arts in the States. So I've sort of just wheeled and dealed and taken out enough credit card debt and loans to put together a music career. I've been doing this for about 15 years. And I wrote an article about a year ago for The Nation where I kind of outline my financial situation and how I got there. I think from the outside, you know, if you're looking at social media, it can look like me or many other artists who have followers or whatever, we've gone viral. It can look like we're being very successful. But from the inside, it's almost possible to cobble, almost impossible to cobble together a living in music right now. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's true in a great many industries. So it's really just a problem of, you know, being willing to say, I'm a working class musician, I don't make a lot of money, but that's not how I define success.
Mm. I know John Prine was a big hero of yours as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up with his music and my whole family knows, I think, most of his discography. And so when he passed away in 2020, I wrote him a little tribute song, which ended up making its way over here. And that's really the reason I get to come to Ireland so much.
And you love Ireland.
I do love it. Yeah, I think the politics is one of the big reasons. I think here I'm considered kind of moderately left politically, and at home I'm considered an enemy of the state. So so it's just kind of relaxing to come here.
It's the beauty of a consensus democracy.
Yeah.
Your tour, you're in the Roisin Dubh tonight. How are tickets going?
They're going all right. We've got a few left if anyone would like to join us.
Brilliant. And after that then, Kilkenny, Dublin, and you're finishing off actually in London.
Yeah, we tacked on one London show there at the end. I think we did like 16 shows in Ireland and then just one in London. And that reflects our, you know, we just like it here. We like it here.
And how do you like Galway? It's a very bohemian city.
Yeah, it's great. You mentioned Kinvara and I'm actually staying there, which is a lovely little bohemian town as well on the seaside. So yeah, we're having a wonderful time.
So people can go on to Roisin Dubh later. What time are you getting on stage tonight?
Ooh, should have checked that. Want to say 8 or half 8?
8 or half 8. Great. So people can go down to the Roisin Dubh to see you later on. And if they want to get your album, that where's the best place doing that?
Well, if you go to carcyblanton.com, you can find everything, and it's on all the apps as well.
Brilliant. Carcy Blanton, a pleasure having you in studio. Love the music, love the sound of your voice, and every best wish for the future, and enjoy the last few tour dates you've left on the Irish tour.
Well, thanks so much for having me in.
It was great to have you on the programme. Now, though, I want to switch my attention to sport, because there's a lot happening ahead of the weekend, and unfortunately we wouldn't be able to do it in the programme tomorrow because we're out in the lovely village of Clonbur. But I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Ollie Turner, our head of sport. Ollie, good morning.
Hi, John.
It's great to have you with us, Ollie. And it's a busy weekend, and we'll start with the Gaelic Games first.
Yeah, and last night, where poor old Mayo finished bottom of the pile in the Connacht Under 20 Football Championship. It was an extraordinary night, John, because like at any one point you were looking at the table and all five teams were fluctuating between first and fifth. Yeah. Now Galway knew going into it that they were at least in a semi-final, but if Mayo or Roscommon won by 10 points then they would jump down from first into a semi-final, and that's what happened. Roscommon beat Leitrim, who a lot of people thought at home could have done damage there, so Leitrim were knocked out. Roscommon won by 13 points, so they topped the group and go straight into the Connacht final. And for Galway, they were bumped down on score difference into second place, and they were joined by Sligo, who came from behind to beat Mayo 14-9. Now, let's be fair, Sligo are going for 3 in a row here. They've got some really good young talent coming through. You'd hope that it would manifest itself at senior level at some point pretty soon. But Galway-Sligo next Wednesday in a semi-final. It's not fixed yet, John. We fear it will be. We don't fear. We expect it will be in Castlebar. Okay. That'll be a neutral venue. It won't be in Galway. So Galway-Sligo in the semi, and then it's Roscommon awaiting the winners in the final. Meanwhile, the Galway minor footballers, they're out in action in the championship tomorrow evening. After drawing with Sligo, they go to Hyde Park to play Roscommon tomorrow evening. The senior footballers, they're playing Sligo on Saturday in Markovic Park. They shouldn't have much problems there in advancing to a final. Who they'll play will be decided on Sunday with the clash of Mayo and Roscommon. What are you thinking down there?
Oh, it'll be a big one. I suppose the great thing for Mayo people is that they did so middling in the league, that and Roscommon did so badly, that you'd hope that there's no hype this year. But It's an interesting one, and I suppose if you look at the different players who have gone and who have come back, Paddy Durkan coming back is a big one. There's a lot of hope, I think, going into it, and the main hope is that Roscommon don't find a few new players.
Yeah, I mean, Roscommon had a disappointing league, but I don't think they'll be too worried about that because they caught Mayo last year in the championship, and they're looking to repeat that.
Mayo have a very good record in the Hyde, though.
But what does that mean? You know, and honestly, you know, it's probably going to be condition-wise a lot better than the last round, so that might help Mayo. And you would expect Mayo to win. I mean, let's just be fair. But either way, Galway should be in the final by that stage. They'll be announcing their team tonight at 9 o'clock. The Galway Hurlers, they start against Carlow on Sunday. That shouldn't be too difficult for Henry Shefflin's side either to register a comfortable victory and get the ball rolling there. But the Minor Hurlers, they've got a tough outing on Saturday. They're away to Kilkenny in their first round robin game. So you still nearly expect Galway. Now, I know Offaly are making great strides as well at underage level. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of an impact they have at minor level. Dublin Wexford likewise, but Galway Kilkenny I'm sure would be favourites even after playing in the opening round to meet again in a Leinster final. That match is on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. We'll have that live before we go to Markovic Park at 3:30.
And there's plenty happening in the underage scenes as well, Ollie. I know there's the Connacht under 14 ladies football final taking place.
Did you see the minor result last night?
Incredible.
I was checking in the score. So at half time, the Galway are the defending All-Ireland champions. They're playing Sligo in the first game in Connacht. And at halftime, it's 3-10 to no score. And I'm thinking, poor old Sligo. And then Darren says to me, no, Sligo are leading Galway. And there was a few seconds of complete silence. What? Sligo were 3-10 to no score up on Galway last night. And then won the game 4-13 to 3-4. So obviously there was a breeze involved and all of that. But either way, that's a phenomenal result for Sligo. And look, I keep saying it, like, ladies football needs more competition in the provinces. Yeah. It absolutely needs Connacht to be more than a straight Connacht final at senior level between Galway and Mayo. So, you know, more power to Sligo, and, you know, Roscommon likewise in the underage level are making great strides as well. So let's hope that could be a sign of things to come in the future.
And plenty of soccer action as well. The action starts tomorrow night in the Air Trusty League Premier Division.
Yeah, we've got two Galway United teams out this weekend. Of course, the senior men, they're playing tomorrow night in the Air Trusty League. They've got Shelburne, who won't have any fans. So did you see that, John, during the week, where Shelburne, as a club, had asked all their supporters to buy a ticket for a tenner so that Galway United wouldn't lose out financially? Which was a nice gesture, and I don't know how many of them took up on that. But if you think about it, this is the FAI have banned Shelburne supporters from going to Galway United because they threw a firework onto the pitch in their last game against Drogheda, hit a linesman, and they says, right, you're not having any fans going to Galway. Which, if you think about it, is penalising Galway United, because now, like, Shelburne would have brought probably 500 fans at 20 quid a pop, and we're missing out on that money. So Shelburne noticed that and said, look, this isn't right either, that Galway United are missing out financially. So there might be a few bob back in it for Galway United on that front, but there'll be no Shells fans at that match tomorrow night. And then Galway United have Glentoran in the All-Ireland Cup, the ladies, for their second match. Galway defending champions, they've already beaten Sligo, so if they beat Glentoran, they'll be through to the knockout stages. So two interesting games for a Galway United ladies team who are flying high at the top of the division, and for a men's team who are looking to get back to winning ways, but they will be against the table toppers Shells.
And plenty of rugby action as well.
Connacht need to win against Zebre and need to win with the bonus point, and they probably need to keep on winning. Now, they've got Zebre and Dragons, John, in their next two games. They're the two bottom teams in the United Rugby Championship, so anything less than 10 points there would be unthinkable, because they've got those trips to Munster and Leinster to come as well, and they're going to have to win at least one of those to scrape into the top eight. So all is not lost, but their defeats back-to-back to Benetton in the Challenge Cup and the URC have deflated Connacht's confidence somewhat.
Yeah, and Corinthians and Galwegians.
Big day for the two of them. They both have their league semi-finals, John, and both are at home on Saturday afternoon. So I'm sure there'll be huge crowds in both Lenina and out in Clonaconine for those matches on Saturday afternoon. So we'll keep you posted with updates in the middle of the minor hurlers and the senior footballers. Corinthians at home to Wanderers at 2:30. At the same time, it's Galwegians and Bruff in their 2B and 2C Energia League semi-finals. So it'd be great if both of them got through to the finals, and would certainly create some great end of season excitement for both both of those teams.
Do we have big news in the horse racing world as well?
Paddy Brennan has called it a day. What a jockey he has been. What a career he's had as well. 43 years of age, our Drahan man. He has family over in England now, and I suppose he'll be turning his hand, I'm sure, at some point towards maybe a training career or staying involved in racing in some capacity. But as a jump jockey, Imperial Commander in 2010, winning the Gold Cup ahead of Denman and Kauto Star. Who'll ever forget Paddy Brennan crossing the line and putting his hand behind his ears as if to say, you know, none of you mentioned Imperial Commander. You're all talking about another big clash of Kauto Star and Denman. That was probably the highlight of his career. He won the King George on Q Card. Won a race back in the late 90s in Galway as well for Jim Bulger, but the most of his success, of course, came over Cross Channel. And just a brilliant career, a brilliant jockey, and thankfully he has his health. And he called it a day yesterday, winning a race on board the aptly named Man of the People. A 9-1 shot for a man who is just a great character, and I think no more than the Brennans in Ardrahan, is very much is a man of the people. So, you know, chapeau, Paddy Brennan. What a glorious career.
Oh, congratulations to him. Ollie Turner, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Still to come on the programme today for Culture Corner, we have Carl McDermott on the line. He has the comedy Nobody coming to the Town Hall studio in Galway on Thursday the 25th of April at 8:30. You can get tickets on townhalltheatre.ie. As well as that, we have Ars Protect. We look at the Nitro Stunt Show, which is coming to the Galway Racecourse as well. We'll be giving away a family pass for that. And more music, because Sophie Coyle joins us and she plays live for us. All that plus lots more coming up between now and 12 noon this afternoon. If you do want to get a text and WhatsApp into us, do on our number. That's 086-3833-553. That is our text and WhatsApp number. Phone us on reception on 091-770-0077. We're back after news.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.